You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, markets are volatile, to say the least. Many of you out there have suffered losses. Perhaps some of you went short and you've actually realized profits. And either way, I'd love to hear from you. Tell me how you've been doing, where you see things going, what you're doing to try to cover yourself, if you will. And you can send me an email to kl@carrielutz.com. Right now, Michael Moore is with us. The website is Moore, M-O-O-R, analytics.com. Michael, has been quite a six-week period here. Tell us, S&P, overall market, where you see it and where you see it heading.
Well, the S&P's, obviously, we were in a bear market and 08 and 09, and then we rallied out of there from March of 09 and had a long run up. And then we had a significant sell-off against that, as everybody probably remembers, in February of 2020. And then started a whole new bull structure from the 23rd of 2020 upward. Now we are in a bearish correction against that structure, or it could be a bear trend against that structure. It's hard to say at the time how long it's going to extend down. But right now it came down and it held the initial exhaustion level. And an exhaustion level, just for anybody listening, is if it's a corrective exhaustion level, that may be an area where the market could hold and either bounce or start a whole new bull structure from. So this came off to the 3,800 area. We bounced off that with a 3,807 low and bounced up to 4,187 and then took that out. So the next areas of exhaustion down below are roughly in the 3,493 area, 3,493. I just quoted a little bit differently. And the next major area below that is in the 3,263 to 3,183 area. Now, that said, if this is going to be a correction and resume higher trade, it is not scheduled to hold one of these levels more than temporarily until after September 9th. So I think we'll probably see some choppy consolidative downward movement. And then we'll have to see if one of these holds. I think if one of them was to hold, it would probably be the lower one at 3,263 to 3,183. And then the final one is at 2,799 to 2,742. So those are the ones I would be monitoring on the way down to see if we have a, you know, you could pay for the trade by buying against them, pay for the trade and see if the rest runs up. And that's usually the best way to go about it.
All right. So your gut feel, what is it telling you?
I just think we're going to be choppy downwards for the next couple of weeks.
Choppy downwards. So this isn't the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning?
It's hard to say. I'm not really a fundamental guy. I'm really basically a pure technician and go off of price patterns and whatnot. It's obviously we're in a bearish correction or trend against that move from 2020. So this is not a pullback within that bull market. This is now in a bearish market against that move up. We have not gone into a huge major bear market in the sense that that would have to come off much further to really actually trigger that. But this is the kind of market that if you are going to buy, I would not just buy it and hold it forever against yourself. This is the kind of thing, if you're going to buy it, I would buy it against certain areas and get out with tight risks. Buy it against certain areas, get out with tight risks. I would not be averaging against yourself on the way down.
Okay. So it's,
which in general is never a good idea anyway.
For sure.
So, to be honest with you, the worst thing is that it works for you, because then you think that it's going to work every time. And then you start to do that. And that's how I've seen many traders get taken out in body bags doing that. Because the one time it doesn't work and you're loaded up, it just crushes you. So it's a lot more pertinent to buy against specific areas where you know your risk and take a number of shots for small risk on the way down if you're going to get long.
Right. So beware of body bags then.
Exactly.
All right. So risk is one thing, but extra risk is something you really can't afford to do right now, is it?
Right. I mean, to be honest with you, you really don't have any business buying something on the way down if you don't know where your exit is in case if you're wrong, right? You should always know where you want to get out if you're wrong. It shouldn't just be like, well, I think it's down, it's low, I'll buy it here. That's
So generally not a bargain good hunter, not a great time to be a bargain hunter right now.
Right.
All right. Well, let's move on to energy because that's where all the excitement is or has okay. been in any event. I mean, we were heading towards $10 nat gas. And then a funny thing happened on the way to the parabolic blow off. All the bulls got blown off, right?
Yeah. So natural gas broke above some very significant levels for the past number of years. Broke above the 610 to 649 levels and rallied up. I think last time we talked, or past few times, Kerry, we talked, I said it was probably likely headed up to the $9 area, maybe up to the $11 area. We went up to 966.40 and rolled over, and we tested below those main areas that we had broken above, but didn't really sustain anything down below there. So we have been in a bear move against that run up over the past 3 weeks, and it has been trending in nature, not corrective. But I had said in my analysis that I think that we're in the last stretch of this structure downward. What does that mean? That means that the structure downward is likely to end in a bullish correction against it or a bullish trend against it.
So whatever.
So right. Go ahead.
What, what everyone wants to know is how high can it go? Best guess, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, Yogi Berra?
There's different levels here. I mean, initial corrective levels would be around 744. Next one is around 785. One above that is around 828. And the final one would be around 888. And if it took that out, obviously, you'd probably head up to take out the highs, and that really needs a whole new structure to the upside. Right now, just currently right here, it's come back fairly strong because we broke above we broke below significant support in the 650.70 to 687 area. And now we've broken back above that, and we're testing a line that I have just above in the markets at around 669.70. So we break above there decently. That's going to suggest we're going to continue into this bullish correction against that move down.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
now, and by the way, a bullish correction against the move down. If it is a correction, that means it would likely go up to one of these areas and then roll over and start a whole new bear structure to the downside. If it is not a correction against the move down, but it's a trending in nature, those levels that I talked about will often offer just temporary resistance as the market is trending higher.
Yeah. So once it starts getting into that 8+ range, you really got to pay attention to it, huh?
Yeah. And there's a lot of resistance up there too, between 798 and 810, that area up there.
810. So resistance there. But if it breaks through, then all bets are off. And hey, so let's look at crude. I mean, crude's a good analog for home heating oil, for gasoline. So we can kind of cover them all at once there.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has a tight share structure, and with its current treasury, it can self-fund the advancement of its gold discovery into at least 2020. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Right. So crude, you know, I've been macro bullish for quite a while as I've been coming on these, you know, I've been bullish since April 2020 when we were trading $15 a barrel and we're about $115 a barrel into that. When we broke above the 57.45 area, I said that we were projected upward another 56 $56 minimum and $101 plus maximum from the $57 a barrel area. We've attained $72.48 of that. So that still has room to go on the upside in general. Currently, we've been in a bearish correction against that move. And I'd said in the analysis that we had just about completed that. So we completed that on the 22nd, where we held exhaustion down below at 102.19 with a 101.53 low. And now we are in a bullish correction or trend against that move down. So macro, I'm bullish. Medium term within that, we had a bear move down. And then we're actually now correcting back to the upside against that bear move down. The bear move down was from $120.88 a barrel down to $101.53 a barrel. So now we are in a bullish correction against that. We've taken out the first number of exhaustion levels. The next one will be at 113.49. And then the final exhaustion above that is a pretty wide area. It would be about 115.33 to 117.40. But right now it looks pretty fairly bullish. Mm-hmm. Short term, if we were to come down, there is a formation below that comes in at 108.83 and moves up 7 ticks per hour. If we were to break below that, probably push the market down another $3 to $4 and could trigger another run to the downside.
Yeah, it's been staying above $100 pretty consistently, though. All right.
One thing I would note, just for listeners and readers combined, just remember that the unleaded gasoline and the heating oil lead the price of crude oil 85 to 90% of the time in either direction. So if you're only trading crude just because it's liquid and not paying attention to those markets, you're doing so at your own at a big disadvantage to a very obvious advantage that could be out there for you. That being said, the heating oil led a good part of this move most recently in past months to the upside. So if you were long the heating oil, you would have been making a lot more money than if you were long the crude oil. That dynamic just changed yesterday morning. We broke below a significant pattern in that spread between the two at 69.62. And that said that the heating oil would no longer be leading the upside, but would now be the predominant mover on the downside. So that's why you've seen a lot more pressure in there over the past couple of days than you have in the crude or the unleaded gasoline. And the unleaded gasoline to heating oil spread, which was bearish and saw significant moves to the downside, that also changed yesterday, which meant that the heating oil would continue to be weak relative to the unleaded gas, or the flip it the other way, the unleaded gas would be strong relative to the heat.
All right. But they're both trading at extremely high prices now, right?
Yeah.
Historic, you know, as opposed to historic prices, of course.
I guess the importance of why I brought all that up, sorry to go into a lot of that detail, is that the heating oil was the one pushing the market up. Everything else was it was following that to the upside. That changed yesterday. So that rolled over. So that's just another thing to keep in the back of your mind when you're looking at this overall picture.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, let's get to gold, one of my personal favorites. What's the chart looking like there?
Okay. So gold is in, I just said this morning, gold is in consolidation and testing a bearish pattern down below. Let me just back up a second. We had broken below a very significant pattern at 1,857 an ounce. And then we traveled up underneath that pattern, but couldn't get back above it. And we're rolling over again. And that suggests that this still has room to the downside to come off. I do think that structurally, gold has another big leg to the downside to test down below, likely to test down below 1,785 an ounce. Below there, you would look for extension exhaustion levels. These are levels where the market could potentially end its trend to the downside and then start a bullish correction or a bullish trend. Also, if it trades down below 1,785 an ounce and then settles back above that on a weekly basis, that would also be a warning that this current move from 2,078 an ounce down is likely over, for the time being, and we could see the market rally out of there substantially for weeks from that level. The only other thing that would change this whole picture, let me go back to one other chart. Currently, we're sitting right on a bearish formation. If we break below that, that would further project this to the downside. That formation comes in at 1,819.6 an ounce and just increases very slightly. There's a couple ticks a day. And below that, I said that it will project this downward $24 an ounce plus. You can see far more than that. That would also be a formation if we broke below there decently and came back up through it decently, that I would get long. I get out of all my shorts, get long, look for it to rally at least $24. It could rally far more than that. And then there's a smaller formation above that comes in at 1,834.7 an ounce and a decent break. And that comes off 1.4 ticks per hour. And a decent break above that would project this upward 17 an ounce, you know, and maybe more than that. So it's a more of a minor formation.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, finally, Bitcoin. What do we see here?
So the Bitcoin, just from the last time we talked, I've been bearish in that from multiple levels. Let me just pull that up here. Yeah, the trade below 45,920 has brought in 26,320 of the pressure that we're looking for below there. We've had multiple different projections to the downside. And more recently, one of the larger projections I have to the downside is the trade below 34,830 put this below a significant bearish formation that projects this downward 13,000 minimum, 36,000 plus maximum, and we've attained $15,230 of that so far. And for those of you that are good math whizzes and put that all together in your head, yes, that's right. I basically said that the maximum projections for this formation could actually put the Bitcoin in negative territory. So people say, well, how could that possibly be? Well, it could possibly be just in the same way that crude oil went to negative $40 a barrel just a little while ago. So it's not to say it's definitely going to get down there. It just has a minimum projection and a maximum projection. The minimum, like I said, was 13,000. We've already seen 15,230 of it. So that all being said, this whole structure downward, just structurally, I think that we could be in the last stretch of it. And I've said that a couple of times on the other markets. What does that mean, the last stretch? The last stretch just means structurally it could hold different extension exhaustion levels down below. So I would monitor those on the way down. One of those happens to be in the 20,959 to 17,306 area. It's a pretty wide area. We've just come down there and just drifted sideways within it. The volatility has really gotten crushed quite a bit. And then there's lower levels further below that.
So of all the markets you're following, it appears to me that Bitcoin is the most bearish.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think Bitcoin wasn't supposed to go down.
Well, you know, the thing is, since I analyze these things on a technical level, you know, honestly, they can change in fairly short notice, and the picture can change fairly short notice, unless you have, you know, really big specific projections. And the way that this could change, you know, to look for a turn in the market, usually the market, if it's going to turn, turns in one of four ways. It either holds an extension exhaustion level on the downside, where you can buy with a tight risk, or it leaves a small bullish formation down below where you could get long, and then sometimes they'll have it'll build an even bigger bullish formation. That's the second way. The third way would be if it broke below a bearish formation and came back up through it, that would be bullish. And then the fourth way is if you had a descending line or formation and it actually broke above a bullish formation that was formed above. So
right. Very interesting here, Michael. Thanks for coming on and clearing this mess up for us. If you've tell me how your portfolio is doing, how have you been able to turn the current market conditions from a negative into a positive, at least in terms of making money? Did you go short before the big bust out, or are you short now, or are you long? Are you expecting the market to go up? Whatever market you're in, I'd love to hear. KL@KerryLutz.com. And you find Michael's work over at moreanalytics.com. And there's a link to it in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Just click it while you're at the site. Please sign up for your free email newsletter. Hey, Michael, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.